Please go ahead. This afternoon's conference call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, Tim. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Metrics Reporting Working Group call on Wednesday, the 6th of November. And on the call, we have Mikey O'Connor, Cheryl Langdonor, Theo Gertz, Mohamed Diop, Pam Little, Jennifer Wolf, and for staff, we have Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Glenda Sangeri. May I please remind you to say your names before speaking for the transcription purposes? And Mikey, it's now over to you. Thank you.
Thanks ever so much, Glenn. Welcome, everybody.
Sorry, Mikey, we've just been joined by Jonathan Zuck.
Oh, Jonathan. Good, good. Glad to have you on. So we'll just take a minute and take a look at the agenda and let people update their statements of interest. The agenda's in the upper left. I'm dyslexic, so I always have to think about that. Upper left of your screen. And basically, a three-part agenda. We'll take a moment to talk about rotating our calls so that we spread the pain of 2 a.m. calls for Cheryl and Pam across all of us. Yeah. And then we'll work on the charter a bit, and then we'll take a look at a work plan that Barry, I think, circulated to the list. He at least sent it to me, and that'll be our agenda for today. Any questions about the agenda or changes to your statements of interest? Barry, I saw your hand go up and then down. You want to jump in at this point?
I'll wait till number two.
Okay. Cheryl, go ahead.
In reviewing my SOI for GNSO, I just want to note for this group that it does need updating, and I will be doing it shortly. But obviously it's not reflecting two things that I'm... since I put that together, now in fact have been for some time an individual member of the non-commercial stakeholder group, so I need to add that in, but I also then need to reflect my NOMCOM chair for 2014 status.
Ah, yes. Thanks, Cheryl. That's great. Okay, I don't see anybody else's hand up, so we'll move right on into Section 2, which is the idea of rotating our calls after the Buenos Aires meeting. Barry, is that what you wanted to jump in on?
Yes, Mikey. This is Barry. Thank you. So based on the doodle polls, it was very clear, actually, the first two doodle polls that I've got unanimous selections. But basically, the 13 UTC time and the 2100-hour UTC time was accommodative to everyone. Basically, we'll do an alternating pattern starting on the 4th of December. We'll start at 21 UTC, then 11th we'll flip back to 13, and then the 18th we'll go to the 21st. And around that time frame, hopefully we'll have at least concluded the chartering portion of our effort, and we'll determine what our schedule will look like in 2014 as we evolve into a working group from there. One thing to note, I need to go back and look at our attendance list for the locations for everyone, but we could possibly entertain just running the meeting week after week at just 21 UTC. I just need to understand which of our members are in the European time zone and determine whether that can be done on a weekly basis instead of alternating. I think that benefits a couple of reasons. Is mostly more predictable scheduling, because it does get confusing alternating every other week with different times, especially if one particular meeting gets canceled, then it gets even more difficult. And the secondary reason is just from a scheduling perspective as well. But for now, we'll go ahead and maintain the schedule, and between now and December, when, you know, at the beginning of December, the fourth meeting, we can ask the question again about just converting straight to 21 UTC, and if that's acceptable with most. But I think that might be the most accommodative, and it's the interesting thing about it for me, I think, is it's probably one of the latest working group sessions I've ever help attend or anything. Usually they're all around 14 to 18 UTC typically. So hopefully the schedule is accommodative to everyone. It looked like it was based on the Doodle poll. We'll get those scheduled and we'll go from there. So thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Barry, and thanks for putting that schedule together. Yeah, it would be nice to be on one time. I've been on alternating time working groups, and it's pretty easy to get our skis crossed on that. So let's indeed try to. Nah, Cheryl. Okay.
A lot
all right.
Of work so, time on run 3 and 4 changes. So
really, holy.
Long enough out. Yes, CCNSO runs routinely on a 3 time zone switch up.
Wow. You know, what can I say? Okay, so here's where we're at, folks. I listened to the transcript from last week, and I think what I'd like to do is maybe let Barry and Jonathan kind of give us the high points of the emerging theme that seemed to be emerging at the end, which was this idea. Well, I'm going to let Barry and Jonathan sort of give us a quick summary of what we learned last week and try and work that into this revised mind map that's on the screen, and then we'll carry on for the rest of the call. Barry, do you want to do that? It looks like you're volunteering.
Thank you. I'll take a quick stab at this, and then Jonathan can chime in if I missed anything. So essentially, at last week's meeting, we started kind of touching on the overall scope of what this eventual working group's effort will be like. Our first part of our discussion is actually taking off to the left of the metrics and reporting circle there in the center. We did talk about other metric efforts that were going on in the community, most specifically the consumer metrics. That was a working group that was formed last year and completed its work, passed their recommendations over to the ICANN board for their consideration, as to which a implementation advisory group is being formed of about 38 members across the community. While their work definitely is attributable or directly connected to the GNSO, it is much more targeted in for the new GTLD program and not so much, it's more at a macro level, for lack of a better word, than where we're our scope is, which is more at the working group level and or within just the GNSO. And it's basically not to say that we won't ignore, we would ignore what's going on in that IAG group. In fact, we might be able to leverage some of their activity, but in general, their scope is not aligned with ours. And so to put a bow tie on this, after we had this little discussion, then we refined the scope to understand that it was more at our working group level. And in short summary, it's basically the first is to look at the policies that are developed out of our working group effort and be able to build a set of metrics around, first trying to define a framework by which we seek metrics and reporting to help us better informed our decisions around policy making. The secondary component is to look at the policies that are, or the consensus policies that are created as an output of our working group effort, and to be able to define what the critical success factors and metrics to measure how well those policies are being implemented. The third component is roughly how to basically build a framework in how we request metrics, not only from ICANN, but as well as external sources such as Spam House and different companies that help develop different types of abuse metrics. And then as well as part of that framework is also how do we engage with contracted parties and help define a framework or a boundary by which working groups can request data from contracted parties to better inform the policy development process. And then lastly is how any of these metrics can be benefit the GNSO or the GNSO Council in general, which should, you know, be something along the lines of, you know, maybe that there would be end-of-year reviews from contractual compliance, consolidation of external resources or reporting that may help shed light on what the state of the industry is for the generic namespace, et cetera, all of which is still very loosely defined, but in general, again, our scope is just predominantly around working group activities and how the GNSO Council itself can utilize or leverage better metrics and reporting platforms. And Jonathan, do you have anything else to add to that?
Sure. I think probably one of the things that we should do is define a couple of terms. I think that fundamentally our task is about data and the incorporation of data and statistics into the work of working groups and consequently the GNSO, and that metrics are actually decisions about what data we want to track over time and set targets for in order to measure the success of a particular policy once it's been implemented. So, I mean, so that's the thing. So we're going to try to develop frameworks for getting access to the data necessary to make informed decisions about policies going forward, and frameworks for defining targets for the future of those statistics to determine what the success of the policy was. I think that one thing that might be helpful is that we decided it was out of our scope for this working group to have a conversation about what metrics should be set for the organization as a whole, but instead view this as establishing a process by which from the ground up, in a more organic way, metrics become a part of policy development. And so that's part of what makes it different from the Consumer Metrics Project, except in so much as that Consumer Metrics Project could have been an outgrowth of this process had it previously existed. So I think it's about finding ways to get access to data and then coming up with a framework for using the data to set policy, and a framework for establishing targets for that data so that there can be some statistical measures of success for policies once they're implemented.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan. And Mikey, if I can just follow up, I missed a couple of items as well. Carrying on or attaching on to everything that Jonathan said, I think one of our tangible outputs from this effort would to possibly include editing or modifying our work product templates that we use within a working group. So, for example, we have defined a framework about what metrics may benefit the policy process. We would want to introduce those into our templates like our charters, perhaps some of our issue reports, Perhaps it becomes a required section for our final reports out of the working group and those kinds of components. So there's four or five different templates that are used within the GNSO that could perhaps be updated. And then the last thing I would mention, which kind of takes us back to the very original reason why this effort even got started to begin with, and that centers around ICANN's contractual compliance. There were two recommendations that the council approved when this effort was launched. The first was that the GNSO Council will await for contractual compliance to complete their three-year plan before investigating any further actions that may or may not be necessary. As I understand from Maggie Sirod, that their original three-year plan started 3 years ago, obviously, will conclude at the end of this calendar year. And so perhaps around January of next year to try to satisfy that original recommendation is to invite contractual compliance to brief the GNSO Council on what they've accomplished over the last 3 years, and to then perhaps provide some insight on where they're heading for the next 3 years. And then at that point, the GNSO Council can make a determination as to whether there's additional policy work that may be required or be able to sign off on it. So I think, and then our second recommendation that got this effort started, which is actually this eventual working group, and we just talked about the scope of that. So when we start to finalize our final report to submit to the GNSO Council, we'll try to marry back up with the first recommendation and collaborate with contractual compliance. Make sure we're on the same page, and then be able to present all of that to the council roughly around the same time to close out this effort altogether. Thank you, Mikey.
Mikey, one more thing. This is Jonathan. Part of what I think is exciting about this particular effort is that it's not necessarily controversial. In other words, if we're defining frameworks for doing these things, I don't think we'll have any knockdown, drag-out fights about, because we're not trying to come up with individual metrics and things like that in this effort. So I'm kind of excited that it can be a working group that's devoted to brainstorming and improving processes and less about some of the ideological, fissures that often crop up.
Thanks, folks. That was very helpful for me, hopefully for others on the call as well. Let me just digest that last one a little bit so I don't forget. Okay, so before I dive in, does anybody else want to add anything to the understanding that we're at right now?
Chair Mohammed, I just have a question regarding. Do you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Mohammed.
Oh, okay. I just want to come back on the two items on the scope regarding the deliverables and the approach. I just have a question regarding the assessment on where we are in terms of. I understand that the goal of that metric is to be able to see if the opening up of the new GTLD has changed significantly the way the customer trusts our system as a whole, and it's all about the consumer trust and competition in that area. My question is, do we have to work on the assessment on how we can, if the framework includes the way we can capture the consumer opinion regarding the metrics that we already have that gives to people, to the GNSO and to the large audience, the different parameters. And I really like the metrics version versus data, like what we want to measure. Do we have a good framework for metrics that already cover what we want to measure or not? I think that this question of perception from the consumer perspective is something that we really need to address. If it is, do we have any feedback from the audience that what we are measuring now cover the feeling of appropriate service or not? Or do we just work on a qualitative perception rather than a quantitative perception? So it's a question. It's really a question. And I don't know if it is part of what we should address or not in order to have a better understanding of the environment as a whole.
I can take a stab at that, Mike, if you like.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it can be a little bit confusing because there's these parallel efforts. And so I think that Consumer Metrics Project was one of the first metrics-based projects at ICANN, and it's the result of a board resolution that Bruce Tonkin introduced specifically to address one of the parts of the affirmation of commitments that said that there would be a review a year from the first delegation as to whether or not the new GTLD program had successfully increased consumer competition and consumer trust and choice. So that particular group, worked hard to figure out ways to measure those things, some of which included polling, as you suggest. And so what of those things survives this next sort of winnowing process happening within that implementation advisory group is still up for question, right? Because the list of metrics that came out was too great and too extensive, and so it's going to be winnowed down and made smaller and more digestible so that they can be more easily tracked and portably tracked. And so for this, answering those specific questions about that project are out of scope for this group, but suggesting that some of the kinds of metrics, eat my own dog food here, suggesting that some of the kinds of data that working groups have access to, have budget for, et cetera, into the future might include, consumer subjective data, polling-type data, I think is within our remit to suggest that there may be instances in which the best type of data is not purely statistical but also includes subjective data, and that's probably one of the conversations that we should have here. So I think we're trying to come up with a framework to make the job of future working groups easier to incorporate data and ultimately metrics into their work rather than commenting specifically or officially on the work of that other team. Although we can use some anecdotes, and Cheryl and I have plenty to share that might inform the process, but our goal here is a little more abstract in that we are trying to create a process by which data and metrics are more easily incorporated into policy development in the future.
Thanks, Jonathan. Mohammed, how did he do? Did that answer the question that you had, or?
And it was very helpful. In fact, I did not try to dig into any specific area. The only thing I was trying to see is not necessary to evaluate what the working group have done, because this is a wonderful job that has been already there. But and I really understand that the goal of this of the job we're doing in is really 1 year after the launching to be able to give an idea about if the way that ICANN is doing cover what we're trying to do. And I think that our scope will stick on a framework and not necessarily go into any details on any evaluation of the existing group. But since we have to answer the question regarding framework and the coverage of that framework. Sometimes you just want to know if where you're going to start and when you have to stop in order to avoid any confusion or any extensive work that we will not be able to cover. And I fully agree with Jonathan that we really have to be clear regarding the border of this job, the framework we just try to do. But sometimes we just need to answer the question regarding the actual assessment of the job, if what I mean the subject, the matter we're discussing, do we have a clear perception of the existing metrics we're using to show how data have been delivered and how, I mean, is this cover what you want to know? Because evaluation means we come from somewhere and 1 year later, what is the impact of the introduction of new GTLD in our environment? It means we're going to use metrics, existing metrics. So we're going to use an environment that already have been defined. So my question is, to which extent we can just ask ourselves the question regarding how we're going to open up or just stick on the existing environment that we already have to be sure that we answer the proper question why we create that team. So I don't have the answer. I'm just asking if we really need to go and to try to put the existing assessment as part of it, or do we think that we have to do a recommendation regarding periodically, it can be every 6 months or every 3 months, the existing metrics we have, do we have a proper feed of data regarding this metric? Do we get the output we're expecting to get? Does that mean something regarding what we really want to measure or not? So I think that the working group have gone into detail that we're not supposed to talk about, but the framework, yes, but not the detail of it.
So, Mohammed, I think you and I are struggling with the same puzzler, and that is that it's hard for me right now to understand the edges between what this working group, when it turns into one, does, and what that consumer metrics group does. And there's some blur, there's a lot of overlap between those two. And I think that one of the things that we will all benefit from is trying to come up with very clear scope boundaries that describe what's in that project, which it's my understanding that a lot of assessment stuff, especially as it has to do with the new GTLDs, Mohammed, lives in that a consumer trust project and mm-hmm. is thus outside the scope of ours. I think one of the things, perhaps the most important, or at least one of the most important things for this chartering to do is to make it clear the edges of what this working group is going to do as compared to what the consumer trust.
I think the easiest way to think about the distinction is that is an implementation that could have been an example of an implementation of the framework that we're trying to create. So the best way to think, to find the boundaries vis-a-vis that project, is to say there's no relationship. And that, in fact, take some future example, like the debate currently surrounding thick who is. So there's discussions about sick who is being, you know, added to the big, and I don't want to get into the details of that debate. I didn't mean to give you a heart attack, Mikey, but so you have a discussion about sick who is. Had you gone in with a notion of once we come out with a policy, it has specific objectives such as increasing who is data accuracy, for example. That one argument can be made that in a thick who is, you're more likely to have a more accurate data in the system. And if that's true, then that's measurable, and that should have been incorporated into our work when we were in that working group. And so I think the job of this group is to explore and set parameters, and as Barry said, develop a toolkit and worksheets, and modify the ones that exist so that the output of future working groups are able to have the data they need to make good decisions up front and have a data bias introduced into the policy development process going forward. So I actually believe there's absolutely no connection between the work we're doing and what the Consumer Trust Project is doing, except that it is an example of an attempt to incorporate metrics into a policy process. So, I mean, it's an example, and in a way, it wasn't implemented in the sort of work group specific way that we're trying to work on here. But I don't think those projects actually even touch each other.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'm going to go to Barry, and then I have thoughts. Go ahead, Barry.
Thank you, Mahid. It's Barry. My interpretation is spot on with Jonathan's, and I liked your use of the Thick Who Is working group. I think we had, I consider that as kind of a use case that we might want to study, as well as PEDNR and some other past working group efforts. I think we have plenty of materials there to understand what we could have done better, after action report, so to speak, on, what could have been some metrics going into it, what could have been some metrics coming out of it, again, those critical success factors. So certainly I would think that one line item of our scope for our charter is to review these past efforts and determine, the pros and cons of that effort from a metrics standpoint. And then just to try to close off the whole consumer metrics component, again, Jonathan, you were spot on. There really is zero connection between that effort and what we do here at the working group level, because we're really more focused around the policy process, whereas the consumer metrics stuff is more an implementation-based component out of the new GTLD program. Having said that, there is, I wouldn't want to say, again, that we just want to completely ignore what's going on there, because that does impact the GNSO. And for those that are newer to this process or to the GNSO community, it's not a one-and-done type of review. In fact, the AOC says that 1 year after first delegation, the review will take place, but it also says 2 years after the first review, you're going to do it again, and then it's every 4 years after that. So while I'm not a part of that effort anymore, I suspect that there will be a platform that is created that the GNSO, as well as the entire community, uses that platform as a tool on a daily, monthly, yearly basis, for that fact, as to how the GNSO begins to monitor the state of the industry. And that is certainly something that we could potentially offer up as a recommendation, to help guide the council and how they're going to potentially consume these metrics. And as I pointed to earlier, it's something that, maybe we should discuss is, is it worthy for the council or the GNSO to have this end-of-year review on the state of the generic namespace? I don't want to use the term industry, but at least the generic namespace. And, what happened in the past year? What are we looking to next year, and what are those metrics that are going to help us better read what happened and what's about to happen? And so, it's just a brainstorm at this juncture, though. I can see at the December GNSO Council meeting, there's 45 minutes set aside that says, all right, let's hear from contractual compliance and what their metrics that they've done through the year from a compliance standpoint. Let's look at abuse metrics external to ICANN and see what's going on out there. And then let's let's take a look at the consumer metrics for the GTLD program and see what's going on there. And that just, at the very least, will help to consistently inform the council and the GNSO about the direction of the industry. So that's about the only connection I can really see with our effort with potentially what's going on with the consumer metrics. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. I'm gonna give you and Jonathan a tip. When you see me not typing very much, what it's probably an indication of is that you're talking about things that I think the working group will probably be doing. But from a chartering standpoint, what I'm really trying to zero us in on is what's in and what's out of that scope. And so let's all be conscious that we don't want to do the work of the working group here. What we want to do is give working group a good map as to what the work they should be doing is. Let me try out an idea on the group here and see how close we are. I'm going to tell the story as I hear it right now, which is that the charter is, I'm going to start with the approach because I think somewhere in here it starts to emerge, somewhere between deliverables and approach, it starts to emerge that what that working group that we are developing a charter for would be doing is this framework development, that there would be no actual assessment work done by the working group. The working group would be, I think Jonathan said, entirely a process-focused effort and not a content-focused effort, if you will. So the idea here would be that it would be zeroed in on the GNSO, at least for now. It would enhance the templates that the GNSO uses in its policy development work, both at the front and in what's supposed to come out the back.
Yep.
But that we wouldn't actually populate any of these metrics with data. What we would be doing is describing the process by which policy developers would use metrics to guide their work and also define metrics as they're getting done. Now, somebody's got horns going in the background, so they need to mute. Whoever just heard a horn, somebody else had a piano going earlier. That was pretty cool. I kind of liked the piano part. But do be conscious
of muting.
Huh?
Right. I guess it didn't stop. But okay.
Yeah, I think...
Just trying to mute properly, so important.
Well, there are lots of ways to mute. So one way to mute is, depending on whether you're on the bridge or on the Adobe Connect. So you have to follow that path. And if you're on the bridge, if you have a phone with a mute button, that's the way I do it. That's the easiest way. The bridge itself, to mute, you use what, star 6 on this kind of bridge? Somebody help me out here. Can't remember. I think it's star 6 to mute.
Yes, star 6.
Yeah. Anyway, so am I getting that story right, roughly right, when we say, look, this is all about a framework. This is not about actually doing, not about developing metrics. And the reason I ask that is because that eases us past this giant list of things in a pretty handy way. Because what we could then do is say to the working group, through our charter, we could say to the working group, dear working group, these are the kinds of things that you may want to include in this process. And there may be some discretion required, where at times some of these are more or less important. But again, we wouldn't develop... Again, I don't want to get into the work of the working group. What I'm trying to do is narrow the work of our working group,
right,
so that we don't task the working group with something that's so gigantic that they never get done. And so I'm quite with...
I think one way to look at it, Mikey, is we're going to do well for free what usually is paid millions of dollars to McGenzie to do poorly.
Oh, good. It's our usual standard here at ICANN, at least at the bottom of the bottom-up process. Unfortunately, as you rise towards the top...
No, but this is DSO reform is what we're doing. That's my point. I mean, that's kind
well,
of...
Well, I don't want to go that far. You know, again, it's easy for these kinds, and that's part of the reason I'm being so cautious about scope, is because it's very easy for scope on things like this to explode. And so that's why I'm so interested in this scope discussion, because I think once we get the scope worked out, the rest of writing this charter is going to be very easy. These charters, for those of you who've never written one of these before, are usually quite short. They're only a couple of pages long, at least in terms of the meat of them. I mean, there's a big form that gets filled out. But in terms of the really core bit of the charter, this isn't a great big document. Now, there's a bunch going on in the chat. Let me just see if I can capture some of that. Gabrielle is asking, just out of curiosity, can we get any template examples and its resulting metrics and that currently exist? And Barry is saying we really don't have any. We certainly have lots of work product from working groups, but I think Barry is right. We don't have much of in the way of examples of working groups, PDP working groups, either using pre-existing data and metrics or creating new metrics. And I think that the framework that I think is emerging here is what will guide that work for future working group efforts. Does that sort of tell the story right, Jonathan, Barry?
I certainly think so.
Okay. Barry's in with a check mark as well, and so is Cheryl. I think that's very helpful. I think it makes the charter much easier and clearer to write. And it may be that what we want to try and do, I'm assuming that this is our, maybe I should ask this question, is this our last call before Buenos Aires? I'm assuming
yes,
next Wednesday is problematic. It's certainly problematic for me. Okay. So we have a nice gap. Barry, since you're the task, the staff guy tasked at this, would you like to take a shot at drafting sort of the approach and deliverable section based on this conversation to give us something to edit? Are we at the stage where you feel like you could do that?
Sure thing. I can, Ms. Barry, I can put out a... construct the first draft and send it out, and then we can modify it from there. I'm sure I'm likely to not be directly on target, but that's the beauty about collaboration.
I'm happy to work with you on it too, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we'd like to do is get as much of this work done on the calls, just so we don't, otherwise what we fall into is a drafting team for the drafting team, and it starts to get hard to keep people on the same page. So what I'm thinking is that if Barry could just whack very quickly a rough cut and then push it to the list, I think that the list could carry the conversation for a while on this and sort of move things forward. Because at least for me, the first few days down in Buenos Aires, I'm probably going to have some spare time. And then things are going to get a little crazy. I sort of want to take a stop and check point here, because I think what we've just done is dramatically narrowed the scope of what we're proposing. I mean, I agree with it, and I'm fine with it, but I want to check with the rest of you. And maybe the thing to do is just highlight that I think this is a fairly critical narrowing, this notion that we are not going to be doing anything terribly specific. We're going to be describing the process by which these metrics are developed, used, etc. And that then subsequently working groups will use this framework that that emerges from this to shape their work. I think that's critically important, because if people's expectation is that, you know, it's back to the conversation we had earlier, about the consumer trust thing, where, you know, there are assessments that need to be done on a schedule, and it should be clear by the end of our charter drafting that the next phase of this work, the work group, is not going to do those kinds of assessments. It's going to define the framework in which those assessments get done.
Right.
I think that's a good thing, but it's a narrower thing, and I really want to dwell on that narrowing to make sure that people are okay with it. Tony, go ahead.
Mikey, hi. Yeah, this is Tony. First off, I apologize for being late to the call today. I was detained. But I just wanted to chime in on this, and you may well have addressed this, and this may well be a function of my being late, so I apologize for that. But in the narrowing here, can you just talk a little bit about how you envision first of all, I'm completely in favor of narrowing. But when you talk about narrowing so that we are more simply describing a process for how the metrics will be developed, are we also trying to provide what we believe are the endpoints that those metrics need to reach, such that we're talking about the process and we're talking about the types of questions within the abuse universe that we are aiming for these metrics to get at? Or are we going to continue to leave that more undefined and allow the working group really to try and define what those metrics will be targeted at?
It's the latter, at least in my view, Tony. And this is part of the reason I really want to dwell on this today and perhaps on the next call as well, is that, and we'll pick on Thick-Who-Is since Barry and Jonathan have already started picking on that, and since I chaired that one. Thick-Who-Is is a working group that just wrapped up, or at least we hope it did. It just got approved by the GNSO and is now on its way to the board. In our final report today, there are no metrics. There are no measures of success for that policy-making decision. So the decision was all registries should be thick. I'm not going to go any further than that. If that's confusing, don't worry about it. What I'm hearing is that at the end of the work that we're chartering, there would be more requirements on me as the chair of that working group to say, oh, we're not done yet. We as a working group, in addition to recommending that all who is should be sick also need to describe some metrics by which we're going to measure the success of that effort and provide a framework in which the working group develops those metrics, highlights them for the GNSO. The GNSO then becomes aware of them in the approval process. Perhaps compliance becomes aware of those as well, et cetera, et cetera. But this next working group would not be defining the metrics by which anything is judged. It would be defining the process by which those metrics are developed.
All right. I think this is Tony. I mean, that makes sense to me. I wonder if there isn't a nuance there in the difference between defining the metrics that quantify the success of the effort versus defining metrics that allow for fact-based decision making in the anti-abuse area. So I guess I wonder whether there aren't broad target questions that we would want to indicate. These are the types of questions that might need to be answered in order to facilitate fact-based decision making in this particular area. We're not going to try and tell you specifically what the metrics are at a more granular level in order to answer those questions, but I think there's a nuance there, and that's what I've been kind of hung up on in the narrowing discussion.
Right, and I think that where I'm landing, and this is, again, part of the reason I really want to emphasize this discussion, is that this working group would not be describing any metrics. It would be describing the process by which they are developed in the policymaking process. Because in some cases, the metrics would describe abuse. In some cases, the metrics would describe quality of data. In some cases, the metrics would describe purely processed things like ability of registrars to access a certain kind of data in order to make certain kinds of registrant transfers possible. And so this working group that we are chartering would not touch any metrics at all. It would only describe the process by which they're developed and leave the definition of metrics at a high level or a granular level up to the process that's defined in this work. That's where I'm sort of seeing this conversation going.
The only, Mikey, I'm sorry, I'm not in front of a computer, so I can't raise my hand. I apologize.
Oh, Jonathan's there. Let me just circle back to Tony and make sure that I don't necessarily need you to agree with me. I just need to make sure that I'm making myself clear to you. Is that clear?
I think that is clear. Defining the process, I think, is critical, obviously, to this because I don't think that there's a lot of disagreement at the end of the day about the types of metrics, the types of facts that would be useful in the decision-making process and the types of questions that the contracted parties would probably themselves like to see answered and the types of informed decision-making they would like to see go on. So I think the root of the where the nub of the issue is going to be is in accepting the process by which that data of that ilk is collected. So I think you're exactly right that defining the process and carefully moving through the process is going to be where the hard work needs to get done. And I think not confusing that by trying to define endpoints would certainly make sense. So, I mean, my question was more of a question rather than really a quibble with your point.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the things that as you're talking, it occurs to me that once the process is at least sketched out by this next working group, one of the things that may fall out of that work is a list of metrics that people want to see defined. And in the case, you know, if we had a huge churn of working groups like the quiz on the GNSO calendar, we could let the working groups pick off the metrics as they worked. However, we may not, in which case what we might want to do is say, okay, there's a phase one that describes the process, and it's very purely process-oriented and doesn't define any metrics. And so charters another working group, or two or three, to actually grind through that process and develop a series of metrics. And in that case, I think we would have to pay attention to what the Consumer Trust Project has already done, because then, you know, there are several projects at work developing metrics, and in fact, the Consumer Trust folks might be able to be an early consumer of our process that's developed. Jonathan, over to you. Sorry, I just wanted to nail that down with Tony.
No, thank you.
Sure, and the only thing I wanted to amend your description was that I think another part of our remit is talking about how data gets used in the problem definition as well. In other words, you know, in this framework we develop, I think we'll ultimately say that where possible, use data in the definition of the problem you're trying to solve, and therefore use that same data in determining whether, in fact, you solved it. And so it's two parts. One is getting access to the data necessary to understand what the scope of the problem is and why we're doing what we're doing, and then the back end of it is measuring it down the road again to see if what we did created a change in that data.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yep, I'm just typing. Let's see whether I've got this right.
In high school debate, they had this structure, harm, inherency, plan, and solvency.
Holy and mackerel.
You had to define what the harm was, what was wrong. You had to demonstrate that the problem wouldn't solve itself. That was inherency. You had to suggest what you were going to do to solve it, and then prove what you said your plan would work to solve it. And so it's sort of that kind of a structure of, let's make our decisions about what to do based on data to the extent possible, and then let's use that data again down the road to see if what we decided actually had the outcome we desired.
Right. And I think one of the dilemmas that the RAP, the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, ran into is that we didn't have any data on which to base the conversation. And so we have sort of the which comes first, the chicken or the egg problem. And we may want to try to instruct the working group to try and figure out how to address that, because we live in a bit of a data vacuum still. It's better than it was because of many of the changes that happened in the compliance arena, but we're still facing some gaps there. Now, I'm conscious that we're very close to the top of the hour, and so I want to quick jump down to Gabrielle and perhaps leave that. Go ahead.
Yeah, now you hear me. I wasn't darning. First of all, well, my own experience, and one of the things that I visualize always before we start to make any progress with data mining for making any kind of metrics, and as I made the last time I mentioned, it was these questions about why, when, and and so on. But one of the things that we should be always really be careful, if you're going to hand over a set of instructions to everyone else to do it, we should be really clear what we are going to do with this data and what is the standard that we expect inside the organization within the boundaries of, so that you don't forget that when you start to work with 20, 30, 50 groups, different work groups, everybody will do as best they think they understand. So you have to start with granting instructions for those kind of things that they are basic, so that you in the end don't end with a lot of metrics that they don't serve the reason that you are doing it. So you have to be really tight. What are the boundaries that you're going to set for the metrics, so you don't have in the end when you start to have or put together what you have in your vegetables basket that you have bananas and apples mixed together.
I think those are very good
line in production line metrics. We have many factories making a lot of things, and in the end we have to give to some managers to figure about the data, and they were overwhelmed by the data, and they were mixing bananas and apples and let's try to be really clear what's the data for, why you are going to collect any data. If it's to make for decision making, you should be setting boundaries. And yeah, it sounds a little bit difficult in this kind of organization in the ICANN, because we are global and we have cultures and we have ways of working, and we have to start to think also how we are going to make granny instructions.
I think those are great words to end on, because I think that if we can accomplish that, if we can accomplish a clear framework that working groups and the PDP process can use both for data coming in and for data going out of the policymaking process, and write those processes and instructions and forms and so on clearly enough to meet that standard, that we will have done a great good thing. Barry, it's 2 minutes after, 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes after the hour. You better speak fast, because I think we need to wrap up.
yes, this is Barry. I will. I will have a first draft of the charter out to the drafting team early next week, and then we can try to work with that on the list up until we meet again on the 4th of December on our regular schedule. And just a reminder, we will have the face-to-face meeting, which is scheduled for Thursday, the 21st of November. It's 8 o'clock local time to Buenos Aires. There has been a note sent out to the list with the dial-out details, so we will have remote participation available, and look forward to seeing everybody there. Thank you, Mikey.
Terrific, Barry. Thanks, and thanks, Jonathan, for carrying the load last week. I really appreciate it. With that, we'll end the recording, call it a day. I'll see many of you in Buenos Aires. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the guy that wears a lot of stuff around his neck. I stick out because I keep every button that everybody gave me, and I would love to meet you all. See you soon. Thanks, all.
Bye. Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye.